Welcome back to the second part of the current review. My name is Thomson Ngatung, sometimes known as TT from the TT Hookup, sometimes known as Chairman. I am being joined again now by the provincial spokesperson of the ANC in Gauteng, Mr. Lesego Makubela. Good morning, sir. It's actually after midday
Morning.
now.
Good afternoon. My day usually be started around 4:30 a.m.
Yay.
And then I've been doing interviews from 5 a.m. today.
I will never be a spokesperson if that's what it takes. We'll be talking about the provincial SOPA that you guys had yesterday. And I understand that we're speaking to the ANC, but this for me is viewed as the it's the ANC's opportunity through government to present to the people of Gauteng a review of the previous financial year and the past 30 years, as well as plans for the coming financial year and the next administration. Now, these questions will be, you would think that it should be tailored for the premier of the province, but the ANC is quite relevant here. The premier has reported significant increases in crime prevention, including the donation of high-powered vehicles, mobile police stations. How does the ANC view these developments, and what additional strategies do you think should be considered to further enhance community safety in Gauteng?
No, thank you very much, and thanks for having us. We are much grateful that we were able to follow the State of the Province address as delivered by Premier Banyaza Msufi. I think the SONA was well delivered, but it was not just a bag of promises. He reflected on the promises he made during the 2023 SOPA, which it was his maiden SOPA address. And he made quite an alarming amount of promises. And all of those promises, I can sit at here, confirm to you, they've been kept. He promised that we were going to immediately respond to the situation that bedevils the people of Gauteng on crime by firstly getting what we call crime wardens. That every ward in our province will have a warden. They will be equipped with cars. They will be given all the tools of trade which will help them to discharge their responsibilities. 6,000 of them have been absorbed. An additional 1,000 was hired and now, which makes them 7,000. What has also helped was that in their line of duty, because one of them was shot and killed while preventing a crime somewhere in Soshanguve, we realized that they had to be armed. We applied to national government so that they can be allowed to be trained so that they can have firearms. The Minister of Police, Comrade Bheki, sent that and therefore they now are receiving training. They will be armed. We promised the people of Gauteng that we will have CCTV cameras installed in what we term hotspots within our province, mainly in some of the townships as well as in the urban spaces where you have crimes that were taking place. Already, Attridgeville has come to life with cameras. All our provincial hostels have come to life with cameras. Kahiso, Katlehong, and some of the townships have come to life. We have concluded a deal with Vumacam, which has backfired but laid around the urban spaces of our province. And therefore, we're plugging in cameras already in these high spots. We've already plugged in cameras in the city center of Johannesburg, in Sandton, in Midrand, in the city center of the city of Tshwane, in Ekurhuleni, and everywhere else in the urban spaces where Vumatel has dark fiber laid out. That has already been done. We promised the people of Gauteng that we'll buy three helicopters. I'm sure you will have followed in the media that almost over 18 cash in transit were avoided because of the availability of cameras. Whenever a crime takes place, the helicopter will arrive, highly armed, well-trained policemen who are manning those helicopters. But we've decided that we have five corridors in Gauteng, meaning five regions, which are Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg, West Rand, and Sidibe. And therefore, we want every of those regions to have a helicopter. Therefore, we're going to procure two more helicopters. The premier has announced this yesterday. He said in the summer of 2023 he's going to do this. He's done it. The cameras are there. The panic buttons are there. The CCTV cameras, the helicopters are there. The crime wardens have already been appointed, and therefore we believe now is the time for communities to become part of the combating of crime. It's not going to be just the police fighting crime. It must be an effort between the police, law enforcement agencies, working with communities, so that we are able to fight the scourge of crime in Gauteng. We also promised, even on safety, you know that the danger which was posed by the Zamazamas, especially in the western area, where there were illegal mining activities taking place. The premier went to the president and said, "President, the police alone will not be able to go into the holes and into these mines that have been abandoned and fight this. We need the soldiers to come and assist." We have 800 soldiers deployed in Gauteng who are hunting down these Zamazamas, and they are now about to be a thing of the past.
On this safety aspect, I think I'm going to be off track just a bit, but I think it's relevant. The intervention you're speaking about of helicopters dedicated to fighting crimes related to the CIT, isn't that something that should be, you know, the private sector, those people who are delivering money, should be doing themselves? Because it sounds like you're spending quite a number of resources that should be meant for the public in general, for people who are capable of providing their own security in that.
That's why one of the biggest solutions that the Premier announced in 2023, and he also re-emphasized it yesterday, was that we want to have a housing that is cashless. That we want to then begin to be like other world cities where everything is electronic. Because with cash, you pose the danger of always having these criminals adapting to all the technologies that you are deploying. So we need to move to a cashless society in Gauteng. I can confirm to you that many business establishments in Gauteng are taking heed to the call. There are restaurants in Gauteng, I know all the mug and beans in Gauteng. You will not eat and pay cash. They want you to pay electronically with your cards and all sorts of things. So the solution to the problems of resolving cash transit is to actually deal away with all this, with tangible money being used. I mean, imagine a cash in transit happens at the petrol garage, because most of the people in those petrol garages are using cash, you know. So that's why we need to eliminate. That's why we want to turn Gauteng into a cashless province, where all transactions that take place, those transactions are electronic.
I understand that, but my question is, the money that is being transported through these vehicles that have been targeted by criminals is private money, money belonging to private institutions. Why is it the responsibility of the state to provide security that is so expensive for those private institutions, whereas those resources could be diverted or prioritized for the ordinary people on the streets?
It is the role of the state to create a conducive environment for both business and the private individuals to thrive. We can't say whenever there's a crime happening somewhere, and then begin to say that the private sector must then defend itself. Actually, one of the biggest problems we have in this country is that many guns land in people's hands, because we've allowed the private sector to have private securities, and those private securities then acquire guns. Those guns find themselves in the hands of unscrupulous criminals. The work of the public sector, of the police, of law enforcement agencies, is to protect everyone. It is to protect businesses. It is to protect the private sector. It is to protect public infrastructure. It is to protect innocent civilians and everyone else. That is the work of the of law enforcement agencies. And that's why we derive our taxes, the taxes that pay salaries to the police and also that enable us to combat crime, from the same businesses. So if businesses now have to actually pay tax twice, meaning being taxed by the state and also then paying for private security, that is not creating a conducive environment. That is saying that we want to separate public services just for those public services to only be utilized by the by members of the public. It can't work like that. We have to protect everyone. We have to protect public infrastructure the same manner we have to protect private businesses as well.
Noted. Now, gender-based violence continues to be a crying shame in our country, you know. Can you comment on how effective the your brigades, your gender-based violence brigades have been? How effective have they been? And what actions are the ANC and the government planning to take to address this continuing problem?
Our diagnosis of the problem is that we've been heavily investing on victims of gender-based violence. We've been empowering them. We've come up with a lot of programs that speaks to empowering the victims of this scourge in our country. But we have failed to recognize that actually we need to start investing resources on the perpetrators of gender-based violence, which is men. A woman can go on the 9th of August to a women's seminar and come back and find the perpetrator of gender-based violence who has not been conscientized, who we have not spent significant amount of money on them to help them understand that beating up a woman does not solve any challenge. And that's why we have to start spending time investing in men, especially in young men, and train them while they're still young, that women are not sex objects, that women can't be violated, and that we can't take out our anger and our traumas on women. We have to do that. That's another one. On the gender-based violence wardens that we have, they've been able to act as a deterrent. They've been able to intervene whenever they would have received calls, either from concerned neighbors, either from citizens, and either from victims themselves, who would say that I am going through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and therefore we need interventions. Because they have been a welding link between the victims and the police. You might even find that the victims don't have the courage to go and report the crime. But because of the wardens that we have appointed, they have been trained to counsel and to be able to work through the victims. They've been able to report a lot of crimes, and many of these crimes have been successfully prosecuted, and those who have been accused have been given lengthy sentences. But it's still a drop in the ocean. There's still a lot more work to be done. And that work and investment has to be done on perpetrators. These are men who are committing these crimes, because gender-based violence is committed by men on victims, which are women. And therefore, we have to invest a lot on ensuring that we join churches. I see there's a lot of churches who are doing this work on our behalf, who are actually having camps for men, who are actually having seminars for men, training them on how to resolve relationship issues.
Now, I think just concluding this, our interview, the presence of the crime prevention warders at the SOPA was met with objections from the EFF, leading to chaotic scenes. How does the ANC justify the attendance of this unit at the SOPA? And what is your response to the disruption caused by the EFF as a result of the presence of these warders?
But you know, the EFF, it's a chaotic organization. It's a paramilitary organization of Julius Malema and his suitcase, Floyd Shivambu. They offer no solutions. They have no innovative ideas. The only thing that they can do is to try to disrupt. That they do that. You saw how SONA went. There was no EFF. There was robust debate. Political parties, including those who are opposed to our views, were allowed to come and state their viewpoints without chaos. So you know that the EFF are agents of chaos. They started throwing bottles on invited guests. They started insulting people who some of them, as I said, that there's a child, one of the wardens lost their life in defense of a community member. These are heroes who are actually deterring crimes in our communities, who are there to provide an extra pair of eyes and boots on the ground to resolve some of the challenges that we face in Gauteng. But these agents of chaos, who offer nothing, no solutions, who have created a lot of problems since the advent of the EFF in Gauteng, the informal settlements have ballooned from 150 to 700 because their leader says, whenever they find a piece of land, they must put shacks. And that's what is happening. We have a problem of foreigners. Their leader publicly says that the people who are coming from African countries must just cross the borders and find creative ways to cut the borders. This is the very same leader who says that we should not have borders anywhere existing. He says that Europe does not have borders. I don't know where he lives. This cabbage farmer, the leader of the EFF. So their behavior yesterday was them living up to to what they are known for as agents of chaos. They can't stand rationality. They can't stand robust engagement. They can't stand anything that is peaceful. All they can offer is that chaos. That's why if you see it, maybe one day you must profile who are the MPLs of the EFF, all of them. Check what is their highest level of qualification. All of those people who are in the EFF as MPLs in Gauteng. I can tell you now, none of the MPLs of the EFF in the Gauteng provincial legislature has a post-matric qualification. None of them. And I can tell you, there are some among them that don't even have matric. So give them Madikarata, Morwana, these are people who are known for calling people's private parts and all those sort of things. That's what qualifies them to actually be MPLs, to just come with chaos. That's why there's no learned person in that
Saying that
legislature
makes
of
me
the
think
EFF.
of the fact that the ANC in the Johannesburg City Metro supported the mayoral candidate who has no matric there. Why did you do that if you got such concerns about people who have got no matric, who have got no post matric qualifications and so on? Yet you would support somebody who has no matric as a mayoral candidate in Gauteng. Although the person is not a member of the ANC, but you supported the person to become the mayor of Johannesburg City.
We found ourselves between a rock and a hard place. You had that demented doctor of the DA. Even now, she's still going crazy. The mad doctor, Dr. Palatsi. The city was going through unimaginable hell. Its finances were deteriorating by the minute. The services were not reaching people in the townships. Only affluent suburbs were catered for. So we had no choice but to go for Bob Marley, Rapaji. We could not allow the EFF to put them in. They did not get the majority of the votes. And therefore, we had to go for a minority party. Unfortunately, they gave us the first mayor that the Al Jamaa gave us was this guy called Tabelo, who met some Nigerian scammers there in Hillbrow and wanted to deposit 20 billion of the city into a 411 scam of the Nigerians. And now they then gave us this guy. You can see even when you are looking at him, this guy is high. And that's why we want people that this thing of fruit salads in legislatures,
You're angry today.
this thing of fruit salads in legislatures as well as in council, don't work. Coalitions don't work. We tell people about that because we end up having to settle. We end up having to settle for such people like that. You can imagine we gave that city of Johannesburg outstanding people who would have led that city from where it was before 1994 to where it is today. And now today, because of coalitions, many parties, fruit salads, no accountability. You have this guy, this convicted criminal. We have to find ourselves with convicted criminals who spent years in prison. And no one is asking, why was Kenny Kunene in prison? What was he arrested for? Why was Gayton McKenzie in prison? What were they arrested for? We reward them by putting them in councils. These are people who came back and were eating sushi on top of women. Coalitions don't work. That's a reality, my dear brother. So, Reswer Rapa Jimola Bob Mad, what can we do?
But finally, with the many challenges and opposition critiques that you are facing.
The ANC people voted for the ANC. When people arrived at the ballot, they started playing with their votes. Just playing Murabaraba in the ballot. They must not do it in the province. Just arrive there and just play Murabaraba. Don't do it with your vote because you end up with Gwamanda. You will have him as a premier, Gwamanda. That's what you will end up with.
So finally, what is your message to the citizens of Gauteng that are looking forward to tangible improvements in their day-to-day lives? And what is your message that we're taking forward positively today?
We are happy with the state of the province address. Comrade Lesufi was not just giving promises. He had fulfilled all the big promises he made in Benin. All of them were fulfilled. And therefore, we are happy with that. He's pragmatic, he's innovative, he's decisive, and he's not afraid to take difficult decisions for the betterment of the people of Gauteng. And our message is that go to the polls when after the president announces, go and register to vote and vote ANC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lesego Makwerere, the provincial spokesperson of the ANC. All the best with all the work that you're doing in the province. And once more, our condolences to you and your family over the bereavement that you guys have suffered.
Thank you very much.
We are out. That is the current review. We should be back again with Dr. Roy Johnson of the DA in about 20 minutes from now. Out.